Get ready to join Pastor Anthony Clark every Saturday from 8:30 p.m. for 30 minutes of life-changing, Spirit-inspired teaching from the Word of God.
Focus on God's Word Ministry is designed to teach you the Word of God, enabling you to live better with God, yourself, and others. Focus is located at 159 Eastern Main Road, Barataria. For prayer, please call 746-0829-623-1889 or 674-0737. For the secret to a healthy soul is a renewed mind. Stay focused.
Praise the Lord. Welcome to the radio program Focus on God's Word. I'm your host and Bible teacher, Pastor Anthony Clark, and I thank God for this opportunity and privilege whereby we can enter into your homes, your cars, or even through the World Wide Web and share with you the living Word of God. This program is designed to teach you God's Word, enabling you to live better with yourself. Well, just before we get into the Bible lesson, I just want to take time off to share some more basic information with you about ourselves. I am Pastor Anthony Clark, the pastor of Focus on God's Word Ministries, and we are temporarily located at the Radisson Hotel, the first floor, the San Fernando Room. Our services are every Sunday morning from 9 a.m. to 11 a.m. So if you have been listening to the radio program, it's a blessing to you. You don't have a local church and you would like to make Focus on God's Word Ministry your local church, come and give us a visit. I didn't tell you come and join, but come and give us a visit and see what the ministry is about. And the main thing of our ministry is the ministry of the Word. The ministry is based on the Word of God. We put God's Word out and believe God to confirm His Word with signs following. So do come and do listen. It would be a blessing. See if that's the place God wants you to be. And as I normally tell people when they come to be a part of Focus, I say, listen, don't make a decision yet. Give yourself a year. See, you tell people, give yourself a year. Yeah. Come to church for a year. And if the ministry of the Word doesn't transform your life in a year time, find the next place. Yeah. If you stay, it's because that Word is changing you. Amen. And I tell people it's a blessing to have a local church that feeds you God's Word, because it means on a weekly basis, somebody is speaking into your life, and those words that are spoken into your life have a way of changing the way you think, which change the way you believe, which change the way you speak, which sets you on a path for success in life. Amen? So give us a visit. Then you could connect with us on the World Wide Web. You can go to fogwm.org and connect with us. We'll be glad to know that you have connected with us. Leave a comment on the website and then switch across quickly on the site to Facebook and give us a like. And also, and then you can call us at 623-1889 or 746-0829. And then there's a young minister by the name of Pastor Lewis and his wife who are pioneering a work in the California area in Coover. It's on the Southern Main Road in the California area. You leave the roundabout and you are heading south on the old Southern Main Road. You would see the big sign, Temple of Grace. I want to encourage you to visit their services. If you live in that area, you have been listening to the Word and you want to grow in the things of God, their services are every Sunday evening from 5 p.m. to 7 p.m. So do pay them a visit. Your life will never be the same. Amen. Now, I stopped the program, that the lesson I was doing, to deal with the Easter period, and we began a study on Christ's death and resurrection, what it should mean to the believer. We established in that study, taken from Matthew chapter 12 and verse 38 to verse 40, where it says, "Then some of the scribes and Pharisees answered, saying, Teacher, we want to see a sign from you. But he answered and said to them, An evil and adulterous generation seeks after a sign, and no sign will be given to it except the sign of the prophet Jonah. For as Jonah was 3 days and three nights in the belly of the great fish, so will the Son of Man be 3 days and three nights in the heart of the earth." So we know Easter is about Christ's death, burial, and resurrection. We know that he spent 3 nights and 3 days in the grave. What we were studying is, what should that mean to me now that I have embraced the gospel? I embrace the gospel. I have embraced the finished works of Jesus. What should that mean to me? Well, we begin to study what should Christ's death on the cross means to me first. We begin to look at his death. We're dealing with the resurrection, but what does his death mean? And we establish, number one, that it means that God became a man and died for us. We understood that Adam lost our relationship with our Heavenly Father. Jesus restored our relationship with our Heavenly Father. So when John 1:12 says, "But as many as receive him, to them he gave the right to become children of God, to those who believe in his name," it means that when we have received Jesus and what he stands for and the things he has done, I now have the right to become a child of God. I am now born of God. I think the traditional King James say I now have the privilege to be called the child of God. So those are some of the benefits that we have because we are believers. And then that's an awesome benefit. Eh? It's an awesome benefit. Some people don't understand that, but it's an awesome benefit that now I am a child of God. Amen. Hallelujah. I'm a child of God right now, and that's an awesome benefit. Really, really awesome benefit. Now, we also established that one of the other things Christ's death means to us is that I experience remission of sin and not just forgiveness of sin. You see, remission of sin and forgiveness of sin takes you to the same destination, but the ride to that destination is different. Amen? And here's the next thing about that destination is that one is first and one is second. Remission of sins is what I experience when I make Jesus the Lord of my life. As a matter of fact, when Jesus gave the assignment to his disciples to go and preach, they were not to preach forgiveness of sins. They were to preach repentance and remission of sins. Now, you need an understanding of what remission of sins mean or what remission mean. And remissions is the cancellation of a debt, a charge, or a penalty. Well, Romans 6:23 says, "For all have sinned." And says, teaches that the wages of sin is death. So the penalty for sin is death. Well, what Jesus did is cancel that penalty. So when I come into Christ, I embrace that which he has done for me. So I no longer am going to be afraid in the future of having to pay the penalty for the sins that I have lived or the sins that I committed before I came to Christ. Not even the sins that you commit when you are in Christ, but that's a whole different lesson. So why do you say that? Well, Romans 8:1 says, There is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus. But that's a whole lesson by itself. We're not getting into that. Maybe one day I'll teach on the judgment of the believer and we'll bring some better understanding on it. But the first thing I experience when I come to Christ is remission of sin. And we looked at a whole set of scriptures to prove that remission of sin is what we are supposed to preach. God doesn't just forgive your sins. He remits it. He cancels it out. And then we were in Hebrews 10. And I want to go back there in Hebrews 10 and look at verse 17, where it says, "And their sins and iniquities will I remember no more. Now where remission of these is, there is no more offering for sin." Now, this is in the traditional King James. I want to read it out of the, the New King James. So let me find this in the New King James. I just like how the New King James put this. In the New King James, it says in Hebrews 10, verse 17, "Then he adds, their sins and their lawless deeds I will remember no more. Now where there is remission of these, there is no longer an offering for sin." So what this is saying is, listen, when remission of sins took place, it covered sins in your past, sins in your present, and sins in your future. Because once you live on this earth, you will commit sin. The Bible says in the book of James, "He that knoweth to do right and do it not, to him it is sin." At some point, you will know to do right and do it not. So the remission of sins covered past, present, and future sin. And future sin even go is deep. It talks about us having eternal salvation. Future sin is deep. So what I'm saying is that I'm talking about future sin in the body. You know, outside of the body, you have to worry about sin. But in this physical body, yes, you have to worry about it in that you will mess up at some point, because Hebrews teaches that there is no perfection in the flesh. So your flesh will give you trouble. Romans 12:1-2 teaches that your flesh will give you problems. Galatians chapter 5 teach you that. Paul said it's better they marry because the flesh will give them problem. So in this body, your flesh will give you problem. Jesus said, Jesus prayed, because the spirit is willing, but the flesh is weak. So remissions cover sin. It's a cancellation. And the next verse of scripture I didn't use, I want to look at, and it's found in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 18 and 19. It says, "And all things are of God, who has reconciled us to himself by Jesus Christ, and has given to us the ministry of reconciliation, to wit, that God was in Christ, reconciling the world unto himself, not imputing their trespasses unto them, and has committed unto us the word of reconciliation." Now, there's a phrase used in verse 19 that I want to pay attention to. The phrase is, "not imputing their trespasses unto them." Not imputing. Imputing. You see that word imputing? It's an accounting term. It's a term you use when you do accounting. And what it means is to charge to one's account. That's all it means. So I want to get that definition, to charge to one's account. So we could paraphrase, not to wit, that God was in Christ reconciling the world unto himself, not charging their trespasses unto them, and has committed unto us the word of reconciliation. What is the word of reconciliation? That God was in Christ, not charging your trespasses onto you. See, I have a credit card, and when I use that credit card and I swipe, the bill is charged to my account. I still have to pay it. You understand me? Well, it would be nice for First Citizen to write me and say, "Everything that you swipe that card on for the month, we have canceled it." But I have never gotten a letter like that. The only time I see something like that is in the Bible. To wit, that God was in Christ, reconciling the world unto himself, not charging their trespasses unto them. So he's not holding it to my account. And that is what we preach, so that when you come to Christ, you experience remission of sins. Now, here's the challenge. If you don't have a revelation about remission of sins, it will affect how you approach God in prayer. You will not be able to benefit from remission of sins, even though Christ's death should mean to you remission of sins. You will struggle because you will think that God is always holding something against you. Now, there's a scripture verse in Hebrews 4 and verse 16, which says, "Let us therefore come boldly unto the throne of grace." Now, watch this. The responsibility to come boldly unto the throne of grace is with us. He said, "Let us come boldly unto the throne of grace." Now hear me, if you don't have a revelation on the remission of sins, you will struggle to come boldly unto the throne of grace. And if you struggle to come boldly unto the throne of grace, you will not obtain mercy and you will not find grace to help in time of need. And many of you listening to me, you celebrate Easter weekend that went, but you don't have an in-depth revelation that his death bought remission of sins, and therefore, just as how Satan couldn't stop you, or put it this way, your sin couldn't stop you from going to God to get remission of sins, to experience forgiveness, your sin in sins that was committed before should not stop you from coming boldly onto the throne of grace. But if you don't have a revelation of the fact that your sins have been remitted, you will struggle in your approach to the throne of grace to obtain mercy, to find grace, to help in time of need. And I am speaking to people who live with what Hebrews call, I think there's a verse of scripture in Hebrews 10, let me see if I could find it, what Hebrews call sin consciousness. You understand me? You struggle where sin consciousness is concerned. Let me see if I can find it. Hebrews, is it Hebrews 10? Ah, yes, Hebrews 10, verse 1, it says, for the law, having a shadow of good things to come, and not the very image of the things, can never with those sacrifices which they offered year by year continually make the comer thereunto perfect. Now, watch verse 2. For then would they not have ceased to be offered, because the worshipper, once purged, should have had no more consciousness of sin. But you and I, we live with sin consciousness, and it affects how we approach God. We don't have a revelation that his death means that we experience remission of sins, which covers sin in the past, sin in the present, and sin in the future, so that I could approach God without being intimidated to come boldly into the throne of grace. I know, because sometimes when you ask people to pray in church, the first thing they start to do is ask God to forgive them. And what is happening? What is taught has not renewed their mind sufficiently for them to understand that, listen, your spirit man is clean, your spirit man is perfect. See, this is one of the beauties of Christianity. And let me just get into some in Christ teaching here. One of the beauties of being in Christ is that my human spirit is in Christ. And according to Ephesians chapter 1 and verse 13, it says, in whom you also trusted, after that you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, in whom also after that ye believe, you were sealed. Watch this. You were what? Sealed with that Holy Spirit of promise. Now, why do you seal something? The Holy Spirit, after you give your life to Jesus, seals you. Well, what is the you he seals? Not your body, not your soul. He seals your spirit, because you are his spirit, you possess a soul, and you live in a physical body. So he seals your spirit with his spirit. Why does he seal your spirit with his spirit? So that what's on the outside can get in, and what's on the inside can come out. It's like you buy a bottle of water, it's sealed. Why do you think they seal it? So that the water that is on the inside cannot come out, and anything on the outside can't get in it. Seal. So the Holy Spirit seals your spirit. And when he seals your spirit, you cannot sin with your spirit. That's why 1 John 3:8 say, whosoever is born of God does not commit sin. Now, if you think about it, say, but I just messed up the other day. How could this verse say he doesn't? Because you messed up with your soul and your body. You didn't mess up with your inner man. The Spirit of God sealed it. That is what Ephesians chapter 1 and verse 3 talks about. So the Lord has done a fantastic job. You were sealed with that Holy Spirit of promise. He sealed you. Now, I always wonder, how could someone be serving the Lord and God anointing is on them, and you can look at their life and you don't see perfection? You know why he could do it? Because the imperfection is in your body. The imperfection is in your soul. It's not in your spirit. Amen. So remission of sins covered your spirit, covered your soul, covered your body. And I want you to get that. It covered that. Amen? Therefore, your approach to the kingdom of God is much better now. Why? Let us therefore come boldly unto the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. Let us therefore come boldly unto the throne of grace. So don't allow a lack of revelation of what God did with your sin to stop you from coming to God or even coming back to God. Let me go back to Hebrews chapter 10. I just felt impressed to stay here and camp. Hebrews 10, verse 16. This is the covenant that I will make with them after those days, saith the Lord. I like to read this out of the New King James. So let me go to the New King James with it. This is the covenant that I will make with them after those days, says the Lord. I will put my laws into their heart, and in their minds I will write them. Then he adds, their sins and their lawless deeds, or hear this part, I will remember no more. Friend, this is God speaking to you. That true remission of sins, he will not remember your sins no more. I don't know about you all, you know, that is so happy. I am so happy with that. Because it means that when I get to heaven and God opened that book of life, it have nothing in there to surprise me nor surprise him. Because he said, I will not remember them no more. Not so ever. You know, sometime in prayer, when you bring up certain things, God will speak to you, have to speak to you and say, what are you talking about? Say, I mean, God, but you know, I did this and I did that. He said, what are you talking about? He said, but God, remember, did that. He said, what are you talking about? He said, God, you don't remember. Remember what? You know how I lived before I got saved, God. You know, I wasn't easy. You didn't remember that. I don't know what you're talking about. He said, I mean, you don't know. My word said, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. New creature, all things or creation, all things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. He is a new person in Christ. Anything that's new means that it has never been before. So I don't know what you're speaking about. Yeah, but Christ, okay, but what about when I was in Christ and I messed up? Yeah, but the remission of sins covered sins in the past, sins in the present, and sins in the future. So I don't know what you're talking about. Didn't you read in my word where it says the in one man is renewed day by day, renewed day by day, that though the outward man perish, the inward man is renewed day by day. So listen, what are you talking about? And we need to overcome those things to make prayer a success. You're listening to me. Many of you have been running from God, thinking God is mad at you. God is holding the wrong that you have done against you. And that is not the gospel. The gospel is he has forgiven you. Now, I could get myself in trouble here by a statement I'm going to make. But when you come to Christ and you give your heart to the Lord, sin can no longer stop you from making it to heaven. That's a strong one. Is it a claim of truth? But let me say it again. When you give your heart to the Lord and you come into Christ, even in Christ, sin can no longer stop you from making it to heaven. So why is that so? It is so because God has done an awesome job in your life. You understand where I'm coming from? God has done an awesome job in your life. Sin can no longer cause you to not make it to heaven. Why? Your sins have been remitted. You have experienced remission of sin. Hey, Pastor, that song in Where to Know, well, why did you think Paul had to write in Romans 6? Let me see if I find it. I want to quote it. I don't just want to say it. So, you know, buddy, don't call me and give me some kind of stupid comment. Romans 6. Let me start from verse 1. Let me see if I could find the verse. Look at this one. Romans 6. Look at verse 6. He says, knowing this, that our old man was crucified with him, that the body of sin might be done away with, that we should no longer be slaves of sin. Oh, what do you mean? Your old man, not your new man, the old man, not the new man. When it's speaking about the old man here, it's speaking about your old spirit. that man was crucified with Christ. For what purpose? That the body of sin might be done away with. You see, because your inward nature, the old man, was a sin nature, that was crucified with him so that the body don't be now dictate or enslaved to sin. And that's what he says, that we should no longer be slave to sin. And then there's the next portion of scripture when he asks, look at Romans 6 verse 1. What shall we say then? Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? He answers the question, certainly not. How shall we who die to sin live any longer in it? Ooh. So you say, no, now you could choose to, but you don't have to. That's my point. You could choose to, but you don't have to. You and I are free. The Bible says, he whom the Son sets free is free indeed. Let me give you a next one. I think there's Galatians 5, I think it's verse 1. It says, Galatians 5 verse 1, stand fast therefore in the liberty by which Christ has made us free, and do not be entangled again with a yoke of bondage. Christ has set you free. Listen, your holiness now is not because of you. Your holiness now is because of Jesus. You are holy on the inside. I'll make my statement here before I close off. The holiness you have now is the same degree of holiness you will have when you reach to heaven. Chew on that. The holiness you have now is the same degree of holiness you will have when you reach to heaven. What do you mean? Because the Bible teaches we are complete in him. What does the word complete mean? Complete means complete. Again, I'm Pastor Anthony Clark, the pastor of Focus on God's Word. This has certainly been a joy sharing God's Word with you. We want to hear from you. Give us a call at 623-1889 or 746-0829. And somebody will be there to connect with you. So call us at 623-1889, 746-0829. Or check us out on the World Wide Web. Go to the webpage, fogwm.org, and you can listen to this program over and 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 over. Stir up your pure minds into remembrance of who you are in Christ and what Christ has done for you. Amen. And then do visit us. We are temporarily located at the Radisson Hotel. We are on the first floor. Our services are every Sunday morning from 9 to 11. We would like you to give you an opportunity to sow generously into the kingdom of God. So you can go to any First Citizen branch and sow a generous seed into Focus on God's Word radio program, account number 175-8015. Then call us so we can pray with you and believe with you for the corresponding return on your seed sown. Be with you next time. Stay blessed. Stay strong.
Join Pastor Anthony Clark every Saturday from 8:30 p.m. for 30 minutes of life-changing, spirit-inspired teaching from the Word of God.
Focus on God's Word Ministry is designed to teach you the Word of God, enabling you to live better with God, yourself, and others. Focus is located at 159 Eastern Main Road, Barataria. For prayer, please call 746-0829, 623-1889, or 674-0737. For the secret to a healthy soul is a renewed mind. Stay focused.